Welcome to Benefit from the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven, so may we be comforted by his reigning over all things, and until the day when he comes again, serve him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. I invite you to remain standing as we go on to the first part of our gospel reading. We find ourselves in Luke chapter 24, picking up in verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please be seated. At this time, I want to direct your attention to the very first timeline. So taking a look at what's in the service folder, I want you to notice all the way at the beginning of that timeline, we have creation, and who is it that created? It is the very Son of God. God the Father, working through God the Son, created all things. And then, of course, we see the fall into sin. We see the Savior is promised. And then we're jumping ahead on the timeline thousands of years until we come to where the cross is. And the cross is really reminding us about where on the timeline Jesus came on the scene. You can see all that he did. So he was born, he lived, he died, he rose, he ascended, he is reigning over all things, and he is yet to come again. When we think about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, what do we have under our altar? We have an Alpha over on the left. We have the Omega on the right. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last," because we have the first letter in the Greek alphabet, the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So Jesus said, "I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end." So looking at the timeline here, you can see how Jesus is all the way at the beginning, being the creator of all things, and you can see how he is all the way at the end when he finally comes again. At this point, I want to go on to our second reading, and we're taking a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and this is actually the place in the Bible where it records the very ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. As we come to this time in the service, we are remembering our new Paschal candle that we have here at Bethlehem. And the idea of the Paschal candle is that it is lit during every service from Christmas Eve all the way through the time when Jesus ascends into heaven. So we have just read about the actual ascension, so now we will extinguish that candle. So thinking about the Paschal candle, we won't light it again until we come to Christmas Eve. However, we will light it if there's a baptism, because we are remembering that baptism is God's work to unite us to Christ, and we also light it for a funeral as we remember Christ taking those people home to himself. Goes on to say, picking up in verse 10, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Now, before you turn the page, I want to look at the arrows. So if you go back to the timeline there at the top, let's line these up now. It should be easy the way they're color-coded. But if you go from the word life, you can see that takes us down to our second reading on that page. And it says, all that Jesus began to do and teach. So that's talking about the things he did during his life on earth. And then we come to the word death. Now, we don't have the word death here in the text, but you can see we have the word suffer. And sometimes we don't have the word death, but we understand, though, that he suffered just before he died. So death is implied, even though we do not have the actual word. And then we go on to the word resurrection. You can see the first arrow takes us down to the second reading, and it says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering. So again, it's not like he suffered but did not die. He suffered, he died, and then risen from the dead. Now he's showing people to himself. He's saying, here I am, I'm really alive, I really lived, I really died, now I'm really alive again. God wants us to know that is true. Then you can follow the other arrow down with resurrection, and it does tell us that on the third day he did rise from the dead. So he promised that would be the case, and that actually came to pass. And then we come to the ascension. So we have three arrows here. The first one, we're talking about the day when he was taken up. So he came down from heaven. He did his ministry. When that was all over, finally he was taken back up. So we know he came from the Father. He returned back to the Father. If you follow the second arrow all the way down to the third reading there, it talks about him being carried up into heaven. So again, he was here, and now he's gone back into heaven. And then even with the third arrow there with the ascension, it talks about how he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So if you turn to the front cover of our service folder for tonight, you can see on the front we have a little picture, so you can see the disciples are gathered. You can see Jesus is ascending up. And what is right above his head there? Do you see it in the picture? Yeah, we have clouds. So just as the Bible says that he kept going up and up and up until he was hidden by the clouds, we see that illustrated right there in that little picture. Thank you. At this time now, I want to go to the reading in Ephesians chapter 1, because this reading is going to tell us basically what this picture is showing us, what I talked with the children about. So take a look here, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The word of the Lord. Let's take a quick look at the arrows here before we go on to the hymn. So going back to our first arrow is resurrection. So it's indicating there in Ephesians 1 verse 20 that he worked in Christ, talking about God the Father. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And then going to his ascension, he seated him. So God the Father seated him, his Son, at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then going to his reign, notice here in the red, he put all things, so here we have God the Father putting all things under the feet of his Son, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. So when it says which is his body, hey, that's us. All who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are part of that one body. Jesus Christ, he's the head of that body. And just as our heads take care of the rest of our bodies, so our heads are watching, oh, watch out, don't trip over that thing. Make sure you eat and do things that are healthy for your bodies. Make sure you get enough sleep. Our heads are taking care of our bodies, so Jesus Christ, he is the head over all who know him as Savior, and he is taking care of us. He's keeping us in the one true faith. He's going to bless us forever and ever. God wants us to know these things are true. And then notice with his return. Notice the first arrow. So we have the line in the hymn, "Returning in great majesty." So think about Jesus. Was he very majestic when he was living his life? He looked like a regular person all the time, except on the Mountain of Transfiguration, but he was only seen by Peter, James, and John. And then the Bible says that his figure of his body was so disfigured from being beaten, he didn't even look like a man. He must have looked so helpless and so pitiful. But how is he going to return, though? It says they're returning in great majesty. I think about the words that Jesus said in Mark 8:38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his power and glory with the holy angels." So when he comes, there's no more meek Jesus. He's coming in all his glory. He's coming in all his power. He's coming with the holy angels. And that's when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So even now, God wants us to picture him not so much as our suffering Savior on the cross. He did that for us, but this is the picture. He is ruling and reigning over all things for our good. God wants us to know that is true. That should lift us up day by day, and we should know that when he comes, it's going to be an awesome thing, and because we know him, we don't have to fear. But for the ones who do not know him, we have to go to the end of Revelation chapter 6, I believe it is. That's where all the great men of the world who thought they were great and who rejected Jesus Christ, that's when they're going to be running into the caves in the mountains, and they're going to be praying that the whole mountain would collapse on them and hide them from the face of the one who is coming. God wants us to know, though, that when he comes, we are to lift up our heads and rejoice because our redemption is drawing near. O Lord, hear my prayer. Dear Father, thank you for finishing your plan to save us through Jesus. Amen. Dear Jesus, thank you for everything, creating us, saving us, and now reigning over all things for the good of those who know you as their only Savior. Amen. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for coming to dwell with us to enable us to understand the Bible and live according to it. Amen. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.